You're listening to a Castaway Media podcast. Find more great shows at castaway.media or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/castawaypodcasts.
Hello and welcome to episode 47 of Padaroonie. And this week I'm talking to Anne Skelly, the young actress in Red Rock. She is 19, but she plays a 15-year-old in Red Rock. The character is Rachel Reed, who is a 15-year-old who has a relationship or an affair with her best friend's dad, who's a guard. A bit controversial, but she's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I loved the chat we had, and she was talking about, you know, well, just have a listen, to be honest. Well, I'm sitting here having a Jack Cody's Hibernicus. Hibernicus is an IPA. And it's made from malt, barley, wheat, hops, yeast and boyne water. Yes, the Romans called this place Ireland winter. This beer celebrates shite Irish weather and the men and women chiselled out of southwesterly wind and rain. Embrace winter. Embrace Hibernicus. Oh, it's a lovely IPA. And if you want to go and have a try of this Jack, all of Jack Cody's IPA, they have a dark beer as well. They can go on www.jackcody.com and have a look. Yes, it's fantastic. Jack Cody's, three tanks and the truth. And I'm beginning to, just have a lovely little beer every evening now. And it's fantastic stuff. Goes well with food as well. Goes well with fish curry, bacon and cabbage, chili beef. Very nice. Hibernicus. Jack Cody's Hibernicus. I highly recommend it. Well, I'm sitting in a hotel in Llandudno in Wales because I did doing a couple of gigs in Wales for a chap, well, a comedian folk called Silky. And he's had me over here last night. I was in a town called Mold. It grows on you. Oh, sorry about that. It was in a theatre, the Clwyd's Theatre. Lovely gig. Absolutely just amazing. One of those gigs where you just don't want to get off stage. It's just everything is landing perfectly. Bang, bang. The laughs are coming. Oh, fantastic. And looking forward to tonight. I'm in a hotel here called the Clontarf Hotel. It's nice. Beautiful. Girl called Joni. Owns it. She's running. She's just done the London Marathon and she's gone off for a 2-hour run now. And I'm very jealous because I haven't run for a few weeks. And I had a sore leg. I was running every day and I had a sore leg and I kept running on it because I didn't want to stop running. Eventually, I just had to stop running and it's got better. But then you just get out of the habit. So I haven't run for, I think, 3 weeks. I have one run in 3 weeks. That was it. So I'm going to get back tomorrow and run and run and keep running. I'm going to do it because I love running. You ever get jealous of people running? You're driving in your car and you see someone running and you go, oh, I wish that was me. I do. And I meditated this morning. I think sometimes, you know, when something kind of, your conversation, I was over in Brussels on Tuesday doing a gig in a place called the Black Sheep. And, I arrived over at 9 in the morning. And I met a friend of mine, Nicola Lennon, who I used to go out with years ago, 25 years ago. And she met me for lunch and she showed me around. Later on, she showed me around Brussels and we were just chatting away. And it's good to chat, you know, when you're 50 and you're having a chat about, you know, how things were and how things are in your head and all that. And all the stuff that you kind of, you know, you're more open when you're 50. You know, when you're younger, you kind of, well, I was anyway, a bit more closed and things like that. And she was talking about meditation and awareness and all that kind of thing. And then I came back and I did the gig. That was great. And Brussels is fantastic. And they've been through a lot with the bomb, the suicide bombers in the airport. And the airport's half closed down. And there's army men and women with guns at every metro stop. But there's the atmosphere is great in the middle. There's a part of Brussels where the people gathered after the bomb where there's like flags and flowers and flags of different countries and flowers on the ground and people have written in chalk messages of sadness and messages of hope and messages of support for Brussels and there's like BXL, Mabel, was written on one little panel on the wall. And his heart, you know, and it was a great expression of just solidarity and strength after what happened in Brussels. And the gig was lovely. People were lovely. And then the next day I had to get up because the airport on the way out, you're advised to go 3 hours before the flight. So I was up really early in there because they've had to improvise. So you have to kind of go through all sorts of weird ways to get to the check-in desk. Like you go up backstairs through the car park and go through this makeshift marquee. It's like you've been at a festival or something. There's people lying on the ground everywhere and blah. But it was fine. I got through, got home, got back, went then to a Clonmel school where a friend of mine, a girl I used to share a house with about 30 years ago, Rita Dwyer. O'Dwyer is an arts teacher there, and she asked me to go down there for their mental health week. And they had the Cycle Against Suicide people stopping off in the school and doing a bit of chat about mental health and talking about your feelings and just, you know, being aware that it's okay to feel bad. And I did a bit of a chat and a bit of comedy. And then I talked to Rita, and she's talking about meditation as well. And when you start having these conversations, you realize, you know, that's kind of something I have to do. And I started it this morning. I did one. I got a podcast to help me. And so there you go. So I've let it slip in the last few. I haven't run for a while. I'm going to run every day. I've had a sore leg. I couldn't run. But it's fine now. I'm going back to it and running, meditation, back to it, looking after my head, man. Because sometimes getting on this job, you just go out and, you know, people always want to have a pint. And I just can't do that anymore because my head the next day is fried and not good. So, yeah, just because, and it is, you know, it's part, yeah, look after your head. I'm going to look after my head, and we look after each other's heads, okay? Yeah. So next week, actually, I'm going to do a few gigs in the north area, at the north, Derry, in Masons on the 12th, Thursday the 12th, that'd be correct, and the Kicking Donkey in Donegal on the 14th. Does that make sense? Yeah, Saturday the 14th. If you're up that way, come along. Okay, well, have a listen to Anne Skelly, and I'll see you on the other side. Huh?
Do you want headphones? You don't have to have them.
Why?
Well, I can't hear Anton in these. Can you hear Anton in them?
I don't know because I hear you right there. Oh,
I can
God,
hear
yeah.
you, but
yeah,
I can't
okay.
hear me. That's because I'm not up. Hello.
Oh,
there
yeah,
we
I
go.
Hear you through your lips.
Okay,
yeah.
Now we can hear each other. Even though we're in the same room anyway, we probably could hear each other without headphones.
This is so cool.
This is kind of cool.
I love this.
Yeah.
I got to do the walkie-talkies because they've got walkie-talkies on set and they're always going, you know, like, I don't know, saying like real code words, things into it. And I stole it today and very exciting. They responded to me and everything. I was like, radio checks? And yeah, I don't know. And they were like, checks, yeah. And I didn't expect them to, thought they'd know that it was me being an arsehole, but... Yeah.
Is that the crew kind of what they say is rolling and then something like speed
or speed so. Yeah
speed yeah which means I don't know
play press play that's
press
like
play
press record whatever
yeah.
I don't know
yeah
I never listen to them I just go
they have ADs so there's a director the director is very different to an assistant director because the director really directs.
Yeah, like I don't understand when they're called assistant directors because they have such a different job. But actually, do you know what? There was and I didn't actually relate. I actually had I'm so clueless actually about what other
I'm just
people
gonna
do.
Put your mic right into your
face,
like like that.
Oh yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah. But. They were, whatchamacallit. Yeah, but then sometimes an assistant director will like sit in on your rehearsal or whatever, and then I went, oh my God, I get it now, right?
Oh, they do. Yeah. They do have a responsibility.
Didn't make the connection.
Oh, yeah, but like the assistant director would just be going quiet or something, right? Then the second AD might be just out in the road stopping traffic.
Yeah, I know.
It's very different from directing.
I wonder what that is. Like, how are they like learning? Is it like an intern thing?
I don't think it's that. I don't think you become your second AD, first AD, and then director. I think it's a completely different job.
Yeah.
Because they're not doing that in like directing.
I don't know, but maybe they're like picking up the words and like seeing how it goes, and maybe they like hover over the shoulder of the director when he's making his plans or whatever. I don't know.
No, I just, so in my opinion, from having worked on, I think it's just a completely different job. I think it's, you get to AD, and that's the top.
Yeah.
And then if you want to be director, you just, something else, you know.
Yeah.
You come another route. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Yeah,
but
I should probably ask. Yeah. It's a good idea, isn't it?
Ask the AD, do you want to be a director when you grow up?
is this a stepping stone? Yeah, no way. Maybe I should just Google it.
Oh, you were shooting today. So are you living in, because we're shooting in Dublin, are you living in Wexford?
Yeah, no, I live in Wexford in my parents' house. But because we were filming like mad there for a good few months, and it was like getting the first dart. And then I'd be home really late as well. Like,
the first start, so you were living in Dublin, you
first
mean?
Start, yeah, I got a room in my mom's friend. She takes in students, so I stayed with her. But it's just so expensive, and like, I just couldn't do it. And it was kind of like maybe an hour's difference, so I don't know. I just moved back down and stuff like that. When things quieting down a little bit, I moved back down. But living in Dublin, actually, I realised. Because I always thought that I'd like to live in Dublin. You know, I hated Wexford, but now I really like it.
You're living in Wexford town?
No, in Cumuckridge, which is near Gorey, or Corktown. Like every taxi driver knows where Corktown is because they have mobile homes there.
That's where people go on their holidays.
Yeah. I live right beside it.
For Dublin people going on their
holidays. Yeah, Dublin people specifically. And in Cumuckridge, it's kind of like, it's like a plantation town of Dublin or something, it seems like, or village, kind of. It used to be when I was living there, and when I was like,
Do you mean plantation, like loads of...
Do you know like when it's like...
Where they have slaves?
No, different kind.
Dublin people have slaves.
Do you know way back when, like Mary First, Bloody Mary or something, was she the one who... I don't know, I'm trying to be historical here.
Oh, you mean they were planted from Dublin.
Yeah, they're like, it's becoming like a Dublin...
Enclave or something.
Yes.
Are they moving there now, like...
Well, that's what happened to my entire family. My nanny moved down, and then we moved down, and then all my cousins moved down, and I only have like one family left in Dublin.
Originally from Dublin.
Yeah.
And why did they move?
I don't know. I think they said that Dublin was kind of changing. It was becoming different to what they grew up in. They didn't really like it. They didn't want their kids being raised there, but I don't know.
And do they like Wexford? Your parents?
They like Wexford. But I don't know, like they would move back to Dublin, but I don't know, I'm trying to kind of convince them to move to Wicklow at least, so it'd be easier for me.
Yeah, to get to to get to work.
Yeah.
Well, I'll if I can help, I'll call them.
Thanks, please. I'll make them listen to this and
an appeal. Please, come on, for Anne's sake, just move a little
bit closer. I'm so tired.
To Dublin. Sell the house.
Yeah.
Just live in a tent or something.
Oh, yeah.
In Wicklow.
Yeah, like treehouse. Mm-hmm. Kind of be like a hippie kind of commune.
Yeah.
Cult.
Just live off what you grow, what you make yourself.
Scavenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can walk into Red Rock every morning.
Jog, even if I were to pick up a fitness routine. To and from.
And did you go to school in the town? Or did secondary school, would that be in Wexford?
I went to school in Enniscorthy too, an all girls Catholic school. So I didn't stay there for too long. I think after third year, I took a year out.
Transition year?
Yeah, well, my transition year was no school.
No school for a year? Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to, we travelled a bit. We went to like France and where else did we go? Like Holland and
Italy. Your parents?
Italy. Yeah, yeah. We they got a Hiace van that's like turned into a camper van. I can't explain it. It's, yeah.
Yeah, sure, yeah, yeah.
And then we like drove around. We drove to France. Got the ferry to France, drove to the bottom of Italy and back up, and so we travelled a lot like that. And I planned to do A levels because I didn't want to go back to school, because I liked the idea of having three subjects. I picked up psychology, anthropology, and English literature. I couldn't finish it though because I don't know having a teacher, I suppose, like to be able to ask questions off, Anyway, I went back to school there in fifth year and ended up going to the Irish Film Academy there for a year when I was 16. And from that, I got like an audition for Sing Street, didn't get it. And then it led me to the audition for Red Rock, which I ended up getting. So I said, you know what, priorities here, what do I want to do? And so I left school. Because I didn't want to go to college. I don't think college is for everyone, and everyone kind of feels forced. So I noticed my friends actually, when I was listening to their conversations, they were picking the least subject, the course that they least hated. Mm. I just was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because, my daughter doesn't want to go to college straight after school anyway. Yeah. She wants to take a year out and travel.
Why does she?
Sorry, what age? She's 15. Sorry.
Yeah. And,
that was a tough question there. I'm a great dad.
Yeah.
You
remembered there and then.
It hit you. So I think, yeah, you're right. Because she'd be too young to know what she wants.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of people are, even when they're bloody 19, 20.
Absolutely.
You don't really know. And then you end up being like 50 years old and you go, do you know what, this is not what I want to do. And like, I know my mom, she does a wedding planning course, and she says like a lot of people most people that come to her are going, actually, do you know what? I always wanted to be a wedding planner. I don't know why I didn't pursue it. It wasn't like it wasn't like a college course or something. I don't know what it was, but yeah, a lot of people like listen to later in life to themselves, I suppose.
It's never too late to change.
Yeah, exactly. That's another thing. Like my mom, she's actually she's a wedding planner at the moment, and but she wants to get into photography, so she bought a camera. Got my dad to like teach her a few things because he's a photographer, and she like researched the stuff. She didn't have to like do a photography course or college or a degree or anything like that. If people like your work, they like your work. And it's probably way different if you're a doctor. It's like, look at the stitching of the frog I did.
I want to be a doctor. I don't know. I didn't need to go to college. I just set up.
Yeah.
And maybe just start trying out with mice or something. And
yeah,
then,
like, and then, yeah, and then build up to
build
like
up to people.
Dogs.
Well, sometimes I think maybe for small ailments, it might be cheaper to go to the vet. Yeah. I mean, if you had something that I'm sure a vet would know just as much as a doctor about if you had a rash or.
Yeah, I'd say so. Like, I mean, it's where the horse tranquilizer is, isn't it? It's all the same. They give you in the hospital. No, but.
But you could bring your dog and then say, well, there's something wrong with the dog. Well, but while I'm here, could you have a look at my knee or something?
Yeah, it's really sore. Yeah. I don't know. I think I need something to knock me out, maybe. I don't know. It's just a suggestion.
Or would you just do a quick bypass on me?
Yeah, it's just like a real like quick, like snappy. I have to get lunch with someone at
one, so. Yeah, yeah. Your parents must be pretty cool though. Did they take a year out and go travelling as well?
Oh yeah, well like.
And have you got older brothers and sisters?
I've got a little brother. He's 13 now. He's in secondary school. He actually was homeschooled way longer than I was.
You were homeschooled?
Oh yeah, a little bit. I mean, like, I did it myself.
You homeschooled yourself?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in like secondary school. So I mean, like, but my little brother was like properly homeschooled.
How does that work? You homeschool yourself? What do you do?
I just learn however I want to learn. Like, I didn't do Irish or anything like that.
Did you do exams, though?
No.
No?
No, I didn't do my Leinster either. I just don't... Mm. I just think it's so outdated, to be honest with you. Mm. I just... And do you know what? I think there's something so wrong with, like... nearly anyone I talk to, they hate school. And they just hate school. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it shouldn't be like that. Why you spend most of your life there, like your young life there. You know what I mean?
It shouldn't be something you hate.
It shouldn't be that at all. No. And then it kind of makes you think that work is not great. Work isn't something that I'm supposed to like. And then like dealing with shitty jobs.
Yeah.
And it's just like, and they feel trapped as well. That's another thing. School made me feel very trapped. It was like, I was 17 when I was doing Red Rock, and I'd can I go to the bathroom? Do you know? That kind of mind, they were like, fucking yeah, don't ask me. Do you know? I was like, yeah. I don't want to know if you're going to the bathroom, but like, where's in school then? I felt like I was in school. It was like, anyone older than you is an authority figure, and it really isn't like that. It's like everyone's working with you, and that was something that it took me about a few weeks to get over, like to get used to, that people are there to work with you, not like, you know, above you or like boss you around and stuff like that. So I just hate seeing that. Then I went back to school, and I remember this one instance. There was like a religion class, you know, not a leaving cert subject, but like, you know, the token religion class. And I walked in the open door, and I got in shit, like absolute shit, for not closing the door behind me when I was already open. I just thought, do you know what? Fuck this. Mm. I'm out here, and I didn't go back. I was just like, nah, that's not how people are supposed to treat other people. It's just rudeness.
Mm. Yeah, no, it is crazy. No, but it's like in did you see Sing Street?
Yeah, I did.
Well, it's like when he's told he should have black shoes rather than brown shoes,
and he's like, well, they're good shoes, you know.
I love the way he reacts. It's just
shoes. It actually reminded me of my little brother, like, because he was homeschooled for so long, he just doesn't understand when people freak out over bloody a uniform or whatever. He's just like, well, okay. You know, he's like awkward about it. It's like, you're so bloody fucking dramatic here, do you know? And it's funny when I saw that reaction. Sing Street is bloody brilliant.
Yeah, it's really so good. Yeah, I brought my daughter, who's 15.
15.
I went with her to it, and it's brilliant. And
amazing.
I brought Duana. Duana's her name.
Oh.
When she was...
You remember that?
We're very close, really. It's just I'm not into numbers,
you know. Yeah, exactly.
And ages and stuff. Yeah. I brought her to see Pretty in Pink when she was about 12, I think. Have you ever seen Pretty in Pink?
No, what is it?
It's an old film from the 80s.
Oh, is it your woman, Molly Ringwald?
Yes.
Yeah. Then I have seen it. Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Just didn't know what it was called.
And it was on The Lighthouse, and I'd never seen it.
Yeah.
So I brought her and my son to see it. But she loved it, and she loves other ones like that. Oh, Breakfast, Breakfast Club?
Yeah. I haven't seen that yet.
Right. And a few of those types of films. But kind of Sing Street's a bit like that.
It is. It's really like a proper 80s, isn't it? It's kind of that vibe as well. Oh, it's so good. Yeah, no, I really liked it. Actually, do you know what? That's one thing I noticed, like, when you're, I don't know if like you do this as well, but like when you've auditioned for something and then you see it come out and then you go, oh, okay.
That's why I didn't get that far.
Okay. Yeah, I know.
Well, so you went for the main parts of the bloke, was it?
Yeah. I had, my hair was like supposed to be long, so no. How dare you? I went for the Rufina part, but I was just like, she is just so fantastic, like vulnerable and everything. It's like, oh, it's just so heartbreaking.
You could have done that.
I was too young for it. I was 16. Or 17. And I didn't know what the hell. Like, I went into the audition, and John Kearney goes, you know, the first thing he goes is like, you know, don't act, you know.
Mm.
And so of course I act my bollocks off, like it's like a theatre play or something. I'm just like, yeah, cool, Cosmo, chill, or whatever. But it's, yeah, cringing looking back. But yeah, I don't know.
Oh my god! I mean, I've done some terrible auditions. over the years. And so...
Yeah.
Whatever you did is nothing compared to things I've done.
Such bad additions. Oh, do you know what I hate? Self-tapes.
Really? I like self-tapes.
Despise self-tapes because I like direction.
All right.
I like when they tell me, like, do you know what? Do it angry. Because sometimes I feel like when I'm reading a script or something, I'm not understanding, like... I'm thinking it in one way, a completely different way than how, you know, it's supposed to
be
done. I don't know. I like it when they tell me what they want to do.
Yeah, but, you know, self-tape, you can do it loads of times.
Yeah, I know, but that's another bad thing.
That could be bad, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm like, I like take advantage of that nearly. I have my mom's head done in because I live in Wexford, so I don't really go up to Dublin to do it.
Mm.
So she's like recording it on my phone. And she's reading the part, and I'm like, "Mom, just stop acting, just stop." And I'm because she goes, "Whoa, hello there, where were you?" And like, she just can't help it. Or if like it's a real like angry male part, she'll go, "Oh, well, I don't think so," or whatever. And I'm like, "Please stop, just stop, please."
Really, do you know? Your mum does that because I would.
She can't help it.
I would be the odd time I think I've got my daughter to do lines. She does not act. She just reads the lines like that.
Monotone, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think...
What are you doing?
I tell her to do that. I say, just do it like real, like you're a robot. Then even at that, it's like you can imagine the other people going for it who are like, you know, wearing like a cape or whatever in a like candlelit room and they've got another actor and you just kind of go... Damn it. Somehow. Oh. I feel like you should always be able to like say, sorry, that was my mom who I had to read with. No actor on availability.
Well, I've actually heard, this girl told me, now she's an actress, she said a lot of the time the people get the self-tapes and they go, who is the person reading the lines off camera? Because they're really good.
Imagine my mom got my part.
I know, yeah. She got the part. Because what happens is when people are on camera, they start acting.
Mm.
And that's... But the people that are off camera don't care. So they're actually really good.
Yeah, exactly. I heard that as well. Because apparently when... I listened to some interview with some... I don't know, he was a crew on... I don't know what he was. But like his job title. But he was saying that... He notices actors actually are better off camera when it's not their take.
Oh my God, I do that so much. When I'm just given the lines.
I'm like, and because you want the other person to be able to take so much from you. And it's just like, I always find I do that. And I'm like,
I just think it's because it's no pressure.
I know, because maybe there's two different ways.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just so generous, I wouldn't
know. You're very generous, are you?
Just too generous.
Very generous actor. They always say that, don't they?
The ones who say it.
She was wonderful. She was so generous.
So generous. The energy, like, we just fed off each other.
She bought me my lunch every day. Very generous. But is it not because there's no pressure? This girl that I acted with recently, she's given me loads of advice, this girl. But she said one of the...
What's her name?
I better not tell her.
I have so many questions.
She said one of the tips she had was from a casting director or something, was when they say action, in your head to go, no. Because that means you won't, you know, overact.
Yeah. Just calm down. Yourself, act. Oh yeah, Marlon Brando said when they say action, doesn't mean you have to do anything.
Yeah, well, that's it. That is it.
Yeah.
Because you're normally talking away, being quite natural. And then they go, action, you feel like you have to straighten up.
Sir.
Ha. Yeah.
That's a real
now
actor.
Now I'm acting.
Yeah. Here I go. So I don't know, all of a sudden the accent changes every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I find that as well. Like, if I'm, like, I don't know, particularly zonked out that day, like I'd be like, you know, staring off into space and you're like mouth open, kind of looking like an agent, and then they go action, you go fuck, and then your entire face, like everything twitches and you're like, yeah, where are the drugs, Connor? I don't know, like you're just like your like eyes start twitching and your mouth corners start like going up and you're like, no face, please.
Stop. Be tame. Face.
stop acting.
So I read something about you that you did you play football?
Oh yeah, I did. I played soccer pretty hardcore.
You played in Spain, right?
Oh yeah, well like yeah, my and I was with a really good club.
Not when you're on holidays, but
me and my dad kicked around some football. I was with a really good club, and we had a really ambitious coach, Shane Murray, and he would organise these tournaments. He'd make a team from people in Wexford, and and there was a girl, amazing girl from Kilkenny and everything, and we would assemble this team and we'd go and we'd play in tournaments against these incredible German teams, amazing. Like there was one year we did really well and we were like first, and then there was another year we were like fourth to all these like professional German teams, and then he organised trips for us to go to England and play against Liverpool, Arsenal. I don't know if it was Arsenal. Everton. Oh, Nottingham, is that?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah.
Nottingham Forest,
that's what it was. Everton and Manchester United. And the girl seems like, obviously. But they were amazing. Actually, quite embarrassing. I think we lost 18-0 to Manchester United. They were like bloody robots or something on the field. You were just like, you just could not touch the ball. They were like passing it. Yeah. But
and this is a club team. This is your club, local club.
But it's gone now. But and I played for Wexford and Leinster. We played in the Leinster Cup and the Gaynor Cup. Or not Leinster Cup. Yeah, it was. South, I don't know what it was. I can't even remember. When I was about what age was I? 12, 14 as well. I don't know. And then I got a hairline fracture on my ankle and I had to stop. I didn't even know I had a fracture, and I was like doing trials for these teams and stuff. And
who were you doing trials for?
I was doing trials for the Gaynor Cup as well, the Leinster team.
Oh.
Yeah, and I ended up getting on, but I couldn't play. I couldn't play because my ankle was broken. And so then I was off for about a month or something, I don't know. And all of a sudden I was just shit and everyone else had gotten so good. And I don't know, everyone else got bigger as well. Because I used to be the tallest one. But of course, puberty happens, I guess. And everyone is so tall and strong. And all of a sudden it's like, I'm on my arse most of the time kind of way, you know. So I got shit and I quit.
Well, Roy Keane was only a little fella, right?
Yeah. But he was like every day. Or so I remember someone was telling me they knew my neighbour. He knew Roy Keane when he was like 9 or something. And he was like real determined, and he'd go out and to the woods or whatever and kick ball all day. And I remember I just was, and I used to do that with my dad because my dad was a brilliant soccer player as well.
Who did your dad play for?
He played I don't know, somewhere in Dublin. I can't remember. It's a really good team. No. I don't know. I don't remember what it was.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Please don't pressure me.
No.
But he got actually trials when he was younger for Leeds.
Yeah.
When they were really good. But his mom sent the guy away, I don't know, for some reason, because she didn't know him or something like that, I don't know, and he never heard from them again. So yeah, it was things like that always happen. But anyway, yeah, he'd take me to, I did a garden, and he'd make me practice headers for about an hour or something, and the next day, because like no one would head the ball on my team, so everyone wanted me, because I wasn't afraid to do it. So he wanted me to perfect it.
And you were a striker then?
No, I was midfield, and I'd go centre back as well. But yeah, it was fun. I remember that. But then I don't know. I was playing for the 16s, the 18s, and the women's team, and I think I just burnt myself out. Yeah.
Already?
Yeah.
What age are you?
Sorry, I was. Right now I'm 19.
19.
Yeah. Back then I was like, I don't know. What, 16?
But you feel like you've burnt yourself 15. Out, football.
I wouldn't play now because the women that are in it now, I'd say, have been going full on since they were 10. Do you know what I mean? The people that stick at it usually are like proper dedicated, and it's like there's no way that I'm willing to break my kneecap. It was just too hard, I guess.
The first podcast I did, the first interview I did is
Stephanie Roach, yeah. I saw, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I didn't get to read it. Listen,
yeah, she was brilliant.
Yeah.
Amazing.
What was she saying about the...
Well, she practiced a lot, yeah. She said there was some goal, I think, painted on the gable end of a house nearby, or there was two gable ends, and she used to constantly just kick the ball.
That's what it is. It's in your spare time as well as training.
Yeah.
I just could not, for the life of me, score a goal. I remember, probably did twice over, what, I don't know, 4 years or something. I just couldn't do it. I'd set up stuff, but what did my dad say? He goes, "You're a playmaker, and that's okay. That's okay."
Yeah.
You know, not a goal scorer or whatever, but I was just like, so frustrating. Like, I'd get so close, and then I'd know, I'd go, fuck it. And
freak out a bit.
Yeah, yeah. And
do you know what? I was like that when I was younger about goals. And then as I got older, I became a goal scorer for a while until I damaged my knee.
Oh, no.
My career is finished. I've no career, but I never had a career.
Your potential.
But I twisted my knee down at the Cat Laughs Kilkenny Festival football match.
Ow.
Twisted it really badly and it's never recovered. I must have torn all the cartilage and I never went to a doctor.
No, I hate that. I hate knee stuff, knee problems.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's so sore. Yeah, no, my dad.
That was, pain was unbelievable.
I talked about that kind of stuff. Fucking hell. No way.
So now I just run because that's straight ahead. So I can't play football because it's too much twisting.
I'm like doing the movements and it's actually
all the twisting.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're did the movements.
Agility.
Just And so I'm amazed that your parents, like, did they just give up work and just go off for this year? Did they like just
work for themselves?
Yeah.
So what's your dad do? He's a photographer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and he's a really good painter as well. I think he's going to start painting again. And my mom, she's
Fucking amazing. And you, was it a whole year?
Yeah, that was amazing.
I would have loved to have done that now with my kids.
Do you know what? If I ever have kids, and I don't think I will, God bless them.
What do you mean, God bless them?
I don't know.
God bless the kids you're not going to have.
God bless the kids. God bless my eggs.
God bless my eggs.
God bless them.
They'll never be used.
Yeah. Be quiet. Yeah, that's a weird thing to say.
Be quiet. All these eggs going, what? I didn't know that. Anyway, yeah. Go ahead.
Oh my God.
Sorry.
What was it? Oh yeah.
That you.
Oh yeah. I would never send them to primary school because that's where you're all my personal fears and stuff comes from.
Primary school. But are you not legally? Don't you have to do it?
Don't think so, no, because my brother didn't. Maybe I shouldn't admit that.
But you can be self-taught. Taught at home, as long as you're being taught at home.
Completely.
Not self-taught, I think it's
home-taught. Yeah, home not self-taught, yeah. My mom used to teach
them. I don't think three-year-olds are allowed to teach themselves.
No, they should. We should be learning from the three-year-olds. Come on, guys.
Yeah, the children should teach them. Yeah,
life is play. Yeah, no.
So
you get scared, traumatized. Because what you have is you've got like a bunch of little assholes who don't know how to socially interact with each other. And so they end up bullying each other by accident.
Assholes.
They kind of are, to be honest.
Well, they are, actually.
And they're too honest. They need to learn how to lie before they talk to people. I'm scared of children.
The more intelligent you are, the earlier you learn to lie. Because if you're really stupid, you'd think you can't lie.
Yeah, exactly. Naive, I believe it's called. Yeah. Oh my God. Like, I remember I just started, Red Rock was just starting, and this my cousin's cousin, she came up to me and she was like, you know, she's five or whatever age and she's adorable. And she came up and she was like, oh my God, I love Red Rock and oh, you're great in it. And then she goes, I don't know why my parents say it's shit. And I was like, get the fuck away from me. Go on, get out of here, kid.
Right.
And you know, the parents are like, oh yeah, I haven't really got a chance to watch it. I'm like, I know. So yeah, no, kids are too honest.
Things that kids say. But when Red Rock came along then, it was, you're there from the beginning, so you had no idea what... You know, because it's really quality.
Yeah, yeah, it's brilliant. Compared to it just keeps getting
other
better as well.
Soaps.
Yeah.
We won't mention any.
Suppose I had the opportunity to come from a modern perspective or whatever.
But it's the way it's shot. And I did 2 days on it.
Yeah, and I remember you were the Elvis impersonator.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Very memorable.
And I don't know, but like it was really professional the way it was shot and everything. Yeah, yeah. And the script was good too. I remember when I got the script and went, yeah, this is good. Like,
yeah,
this
it was. It's great. Crappy. It's great. It's great to do. And everyone. What I like though is is, you know, like the cinematographers and stuff. They're so bloody. I don't know. Like. Oh, they're so like are inspired or something by what they're doing. You know, it's not just we'll just do it here and a close up and a wide. It's like, and then we could do this and, you know, maybe scan in and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, they really are trying to make a good
show. Really, it's not trying. Just like, and it's so difficult, and they're working all day. Actually, is something that I just thought of recently, very selfishly, because I was like going in, I was like, this is so difficult or something, and it was like one scene, and then I realized, oh shit, they're in like fucking every day from start to finish, and then I went, okay, maybe I should shut up, but yeah, no,
but they're probably getting better paid as well.
I'm not gonna talk about it.
No, I'm not saying you're not well paid, I'm not saying, but I you know, they are, whatever, doesn't matter. Did you know then, had you an idea what was going to happen to that character before, when you got it initially?
Well, I know that, I remember Sean Mullen was telling me, and when Peter McKenna was here as well, they were saying that the Brian and Rachel storyline and the Sharon storyline was supposed to be like a kind of a background storyline, like a guest storyline, but I think they realised what they had and they kind of went, oh, we'll expand on this and make a big thing out of it. And then I got cast as a daily, like basically a guest. And then they told me, like, I think halfway through that year, they told me, you know, we're gonna, or not year, it's only been on a year. Halfway through we were filming that season. And they were just like, you know, tell me about this big storyline that we're actually right in the middle of filming now. And I was like, wow, I didn't even comprehend the you know, the kind of enormity of it.
Yeah,
I suppose.
So when you started, that storyline may not have been there. It was just or it was a.
I think it mightn't have been there, and the kind of, I don't know, that like people were kind of saying that, like, they were kind of surprised to see how well it worked and stuff like that. So they. Yeah, they expanded on it. Oh, thank God for me. But now I'm like full cast, so it's great.
And did you find it difficult, the shooting of the
scene? I found it all quite difficult because it was my first part. So I didn't really know what was going on or how it's supposed to work or what looks good on screen. So I was very nervous, like watching this kind of torture.
Did you watch it back?
Oh yeah, yeah. I watched like when it came out, like months later, but like,
yeah,
you kind of realise what works and what doesn't and what you need to make bigger at certain times for, you know, dramatic effect or whatever. For me, it was like this brilliant training, because I remember everyone else was like, you know, Gaiety or Radha or whatever, and I was like, hi, you know, here I am. What do I do? And
so, like, you'd done was one a year? Was it a year course in
Irish Film Academy?
Irish Film Academy, yeah.
Just there in Temple Bar. It was a teen course. So I'd go up every Saturday while I was in school.
Okay. And that was for TV. It was TV acting.
Yeah, it was camera. It was camera acting. Camera acting, specifically. And so I've never done theatre actually, and that was something I wanted to look into. Because I don't know, all the actors that I like really admire, especially like in Red Rock as well, they start off in theatre, or, you know, they're amazing at it, like, and I just don't know how, like, because, you know, everyone's like, oh, Kathy Belton, Andrea Irvine and everything like that, and I haven't, like, I have no knowledge of theatre or plays even, and so I'm starting to, so, but like everyone's like, oh, you should see them on the stage and all this kind of stuff.
Well, it's a completely different thing, I mean, no, isn't it? I mean, obviously, you know, working in front of camera, you're talking about toning it down and
I find it hard to tone it up, if
theatre is probably
Oh yeah, it's opposite. Bigger than life, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading a book at the moment, the Stella Adler, Not So Acting, I think it's called. Yeah. Oh, The Art of Acting, sorry. It's an amazing book. It's incredible. Mm. So it really makes me want to look into theatre. But
Stella Adler, is that a Stella Brando Adler. Studied with?
Yeah. She's fucking incredible. She helped me so much. Actually, she helped me so much.
The book did.
Yeah, yeah. It helped me so much. She talks about specific
what's
things.
What's it called?
The Art of Acting. Right. Yeah, it's incredible. Mm. It's really amazing.
I must get it.
Yeah, do. It's amazing. Yeah. I have on my Kindle. I actually got this Lee Strasberg, Not So Acting as well. I think it's like recordings from their classes and someone transcribed it.
Yes.
Into a book, transcribed. Great. Yeah, I think that's what happened.
Cool.
That's what it is. Yeah.
So, I mean, you're probably adept at self-educating then. So even in acting, you can.
Oh, yeah. Well,
because like, that's how you've grown up.
Yeah. I do you know what? I find it so hard to study anything I don't like. And that's school. Like, all my friends are so disciplined about it. But I was just like, you know, fuck. Like,
why should you study something that you don't
like? Do you know
what?
Exactly that. Do you know what? The only class here I like is English and French, do you know, and art. But even at that, it's like not well taught. I think it should be way different.
But the thing about it is when you leave school, you start, you know, I used to hate history.
Yeah.
In school.
I loved history.
And, but it's when I left school or later on, like I went, oh, this is really interesting. Yeah. But when I was at school, I was just learning dates and names.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't just,
or
mean anything.
How to get marks. That's what really pissed me off because I would want to ask so many questions. And I think there are a lot of actually students like this who want to ask all these questions and have a discussion. Mm. And then you're cut off. It's like, shut up, we have a curriculum to get through.
Yeah.
And, well, that's not how you get marks and stuff like that. It's, you have to write my opinion and then say something objective, like do as many facts. And it's like, yeah, but like, that's not really interesting, is it?
No, it's not. There's an awful lot of bullshit like that, particularly in languages. Like, you've got kids learning Irish from when they were, what, 5? And there's in third year in secondary school and they still can't just have a conversation.
Yeah, we're all that kid.
And my kids are that kid. We could not sit around the table at dinner and just ask normal things in Irish, like pass the milk or how are you? And that's after like 10
years. You know when you're on
years.
Holidays, you know when you're on holidays and you're trying to be like super secretive and I'd not talk about other people in Irish? I actually just couldn't. I just couldn't do it. I was just like, I'd open my mouth to go, your man or whatever, and I just was like, what the fuck is man? And then I just go, your man. Do you know, I just could not think
like you do
this
make
table,
it up
don't
Irish,
know what it
though.
Is oh yeah yeah you do words that kind of sound like it right or you go
on computery
yeah on computer
and then microphone geese.
Yeah all that kind of stuff. No, yeah, languages are particularly painful in school and I love French, like I love anything French, like I love France and I love the French language, and it's like in school it was just like, please someone just shoot me in the head or something. It's just like, I was just like, this is excruciating. It was so terrible.
And you have people speaking French in class in an Irish accent.
Or they'd be too afraid to do a French accent,
yeah,
I think.
That's what it's
so they'd go, je m'appelle Anya. Do you know? And you'd go, oh, that just sounds so wrong. And the teacher would go, je m'appelle Anya. And so, yeah, it's just too...
I think it's the first thing you need to do in learning languages to get the accent, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Start to talk like that.
I actually picked up a trick. It's you just speak with a really lazy tongue, close your mouth as much as possible and go from your throat.
Throat? UM pantalon. Where are my trousers?
You should do like a French lesson.
Yeah. I should do a podcast to speak, teaching.
Like,
we should do a teaching French.
That'd be really good. And make you up the Irish.
The Make You Up the Irish podcast. Yeah. And even my daughter like was saying just to learn, she has to write a letter in French. And I'm like, and she's writing a letter
Postcard.
To her friend in France. And she's telling her that her house burnt down. And I was saying to her, why would you be writing that in a letter? You would like text her at least.
You'd call her and be like, what the fuck? Clementine, my house, it's gone. Everything's gone. Oh, I have no parents. They're dead. Everyone's dead. My dog's on fire as we speak. It's like it wouldn't be like going, and today.
And the start of the letter is quite polite. It's like, how are you?
How are you?
Oh, and by the way.
Something crazy happened. An event.
Yeah.
Horrible. Horrible. No, but I just find that like it's really easy to learn things that you like. And people can get confused with that. I think if you don't think about it fully, if you're, because you can be too busy to think, actually. That's another thing. School just makes you too busy to, like, explore anything that you like. Like, I couldn't understand people who had, like, all these extracurricular activities. Do you know? Like, they go, well, I've come over
after
school.
And I get up at 5 to swim.
My God, I had a girl like that. And I was just like, wow, you are superhuman. She was like, and she was so smart as well, and you know, she was so like successful or whatever, and you know, student of the year awards, and I go, I can't even do my homework. I don't actually, throughout 50 or 30, I don't think there was a day that I did my homework. Like, I don't know how I got away with that. I think I just missed
loads of
days.
You'd be very clever, probably.
Yeah, I was like, do you know what? My dog ate my homework. And then then it was, no, really, I don't actually have it. Or, you know, you kind of make it up because they don't check. They don't check after a while because you're supposed to be responsible enough. But you're like, I hate the subject. Why would I do this in my own free time?
Yeah.
Be living my life watching TV. No, I'm kidding.
It's a very strange, the whole thing, because like even the mocks, because the mocks are done, and then the mocks are corrected.
They're a joke
by students in teacher training college, who are doing it for money, and. Are you getting annoyed now?
Yeah, I just find it we had to write an essay or a speech in my English class, and my speech was how the Victorian system, Victorian educational system, and hasn't, you know, it's still here. Like, and it's like when everyone out the world around us has like developed so much, and it's like, why are we still, you know, fucking doing doing maths with calculators, for example. I'm sorry, but that's like a little thing for me. I just go, I have literally a calculator on my phone.
Yeah.
And like, that is a small example by what I mean, but it's just like, just so many little things. And it's like, do you know, the whole, I feel like it's just like training people to wear a suit. And
yeah, I think it's changing a bit now. They are taking away exam. They are doing, they are going to be...
Yeah, the junior cert is...
The junior cert's going... This is the last year of the junior cert.
Yeah, but then it's like a continuous ascension.
Yes, yeah. But
I mean, that's a step, but I don't... Yeah. It's not enough.
And there's a lot of stuff that isn't done. You're right, because I've always... and my kids went to Educate Together schools, and I remember from the beginning, I said, what kind of physical exercise are you doing? Mm. And they were like, nothing. Basically, and I think it's important that
especially when you're in primary school, I find.
Yeah, but just to get out and do stuff and run around and
fall, hurt yourself.
But they're afraid of people falling.
We were banned from running.
That's happened in the school my kids went to. There was no running.
Fucking hell! It's like, let them fall over.
Somebody falls and skins their knee, that the parents are going to sue the school or something.
It's like,
bullshit.
I know, it's such bullshit. And you know, it's just like, you just see that kind of, it's like nearly like censorship or something, it feels like to me. Do you know what I mean? And I don't know, it just really boils my blood. The whole system is so backwards.
And like, I do, and that's parents' fault as well, because you are like kind of overprotective and not letting your kids go out on their own.
Especially
and
nowadays,
all this stuff,
it's
like,
extra
oh, you have
safe.
To have a mobile so we can know where you are. But like, I mean, when I was growing up, I'd be gone for hours down a field or gone off somewhere and they didn't know where I was.
Yeah.
And sure, you get up some things that were might dangerous, but that's how you learn.
You do anyway. Yeah, exactly. You're a human being. You're not, you know, you're not owned. That's another thing. I just find, like this whole continuous assessment in junior cert or whatever, it's, come on, like, it's kind of reminiscent of, it's kind of reminiscent of when, you know, in America, black people were like, it's kind of like, okay, you can sit on that park bench, but you're not allowed to vote. It's like, give them enough so that they don't disrupt their whatever it suits them. And I just feel like so bothered by it. I don't, it's not right. Like, and people go, okay, well, at least there's this. And it's like, but that's not enough, is it? It's not. Mm. It's that thing. It's like, I think Nina Simone, and she was like, it's just not enough, like, to get, you know, we want it, all the
we
change
want it now.
Yeah, we want all
that's
the
right.
change now,
that
not
song,
bit by bit and steps
God
by.
Damn, she
yeah,
said.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And it's just, I just said that was
too
so
slow,
relevant,
wasn't it?
Too slow. Yeah, exactly. She was, yeah, no. Did you watch that documentary of hers? What happened, Miss Simone?
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
it's lovely. Because I never listened to any of her. I probably heard her songs, but I never explored her. I suppose, like, her music or anything until I watched it. And then all of her music makes sense, doesn't it? I always find that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's this controversy now about this. There's a drama.
Oh, yeah. Zoe Saldana, is that her name?
I can't remember. She's light skinned, isn't she?
She's very light, yeah. And it kind of. She's a black woman, though. That's the kind of thing that makes me feel. I suppose it's like Nina Simone was, you know, she was. Had like a wide nose and she had dark skin.
A very African.
She was very African, that is so. It's put down as not attractive or something. And it's like even on catwalks and stuff like that. If there's a black model, she usually has a very European nose, and I just think, or like a wig or like some kind of weave, and I'm like, yeah, that's great. But it's like there needs more representation of like black women.
Yeah,
this like so different from anything we talked about, but it's
but
just
yeah,
like,
most of the black. I mean, I don't know, whatever, but they're probably multiracial, actually.
To
be honest, I don't even like talking about black and white
because I'm white. I don't feel like I can like why do you need like I don't need to I shouldn't really, I suppose. Speak on behalf or anything, but like I know my friend, she's like real passionate about it, and you know, and it's kind of like, and she's like stunning, like she is like a model, but she's like so self-conscious of her nose, and I just go like it's like perfect, she looks perfect, but it's just she doesn't see enough people that, you know, that are talked about as beautiful, I suppose, with like her features, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, it's, and like she hates her afro.
It goes through
kind of
a
stuff.
Lot of, I think Irish girls are like that. Love, you know, pale skinned girls, and they're going around putting orange shit on their faces.
That was a huge thing, actually. It's like we're being shown these like Brazilian bloody fucking models or whatever, and we're just like trying to be like them when we have like literally the complete opposite features. I remember in school, I was in first year or something, and you noticed that the girls who were considered attractive, they had like this orange makeup to their neck, orange streaky legs, and they had like eyeliner all around their eyes and stuff, like whatever makes you feel attractive. But it's like when it's done for other people, it's not because you feel good, is it? It's because you feel bad. It makes you feel bad if you look any other way. And then you kind of design yourself to suit others. And I find that actually, it's kind of like my cousin. She has like lovely curly hair, and she used to always want straight hair, and I always wanted curly hair. I suppose it's kind of that thing of whatever considered like exotic or whatever you kind of want. It's kind of special.
It's
and
true.
Kind of want to be like them.
It's true. But I mean, particularly, I think fine. Well, let's not go there. But I mean, Irish, you know, pale skin is dark hair and pale skin. That Irish look is a beautiful look.
Yeah,
and a lot of girls are.
Yeah, yeah.
Are putting blonde in their hair.
I used to try tan in the sun because I had an American boyfriend, and I noticed in all the pictures there is these like, you know, American cheerleaders, and they were like brown, like they were so tanned, you know, tanning oil and all the rest. But I'd go, okay, that's what's. I don't know, I just thought like that's kind of I don't know, like, so I just wanted to be brown as well, and I'd get so fucking red, and I would just be a different shade of beige. I've given up on it, and I like and it's way better for you as well. Right. But
do you think how has it affected you being You know, you're kind of catapulted to fame, are you? Kind of like people recognise you in the street. I didn't recognise you in the cafe, sorry.
Because sorry, I had my resting bitch face on, so they wouldn't kick me out of the cafe. But I don't know. Like, people do recognise you and stuff, which is lovely. But I don't know. Yeah. I don't know about fame and all that business.
Well, anyway, well, look what you're with. It's brilliant what you're doing. And you're brilliant. Crack. I've only met you today and...
But we've covered all the issues.
We've covered everything. Yeah.
We should send this in to whoever is the next Taoiseach, eh?
I think so, yeah.
Sort this
actually,
out,
we
guys.
Should just take over government ourselves.
Yeah.
There isn't... They don't want to.
Nobody
wants to
moment.
Run the country.
Yeah,
so
it seems like they're all kind of pushing it.
Joe and Dan.
Way. Yeah, but for us.
Thanks. Anne Skelly. And you know what, when I interviewed Anne, I thought, well, but this will be quick. It's, you know, she's 19, there's not going to be much to talk about, half an hour and blah, blah, blah. No, it was the best chat I've had in years, and she's great, absolutely brilliant. And her thoughts on education and all that were fantastic. So thank you, Anne. Thank you very much for coming in. Thanks for the chat. And next week. Oh, I have a great one next week. It's Jason Byrne. And Jason Byrne came to the live podcast in the Stag's Head. And it's cool. It's great. It's brilliant. It's hilarious. Actually, it is hilarious. So, yeah, check that out next week. Thank you to Jack Cody. I'm still drinking my Hibernicus here. And it's making me kind of very fussy. I'm quite fussy. Now, when I was over in Brussels, I had some of their kind of dark ale. And that's what reminded me of the Jack Cody stuff. It's much more tasty. There's more taste. Now, when I drink a normal a beer in a pub or whatever, I go, it's just water. No, this is good stuff. So, yeah. Okay, well, next week we'll be talking to Jason Byrne. Thank you to Andrew Mangan for producing. Thank you to Daniel Rooney for the music. And thank you for listening. If the first time or not even first time listening, give me a shout on my Twitter feed, which is like my Twitter is Joe Rooney 1. The number one, not spelled out one, just one. Joe Rooney 1, at Joe Rooney 1. And my website, if you want to check out my upcoming gigs, is www.joerooneycomedian.com. Give me a star rating on iTunes. Comments are more than welcome. And comments on my Twitter, more than welcome. Thanks a lot for listening. And good luck with the rest of the day and whatever you're doing in your life. Goodbye. See ya.
This was a Castaway Media production. Find more great podcasts on our network. Visit castaway.media.